Well, we'd appreciate your prayers this morning and your attention as well. I feel like the Lord's been talking to us about something I've had this on my mind for a long, long time and mentioned it somewhat at different times. Wrote on the board, brethren, friends. And I was thinking about the song we sang, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Aren't you glad that we count Him our dearest friend? What if you counted Him as an austere, one that you just had to serve and you couldn't hardly bear it? That would change the dynamics of everything, wouldn't it? But you know, when we believe that He, and when we know Him to be our dearest friend, when we know Him to be the one that cares more about us than anyone else, it changes everything. The way we look at His ways and His will, we suddenly see them through a whole different focus this morning. And so we've been studying about different aspects of the service of the Lord for 4 weeks before this. And I'm not going to take time to go over each one of those, but I want to say this one few little sentences to each one real quick. We talked about in the first study, we studied about the basis of all we do as the Lord's people, what we allow into our lives, our purpose, our manner of life, our loves, and how contrasted that is with the world's loves and purpose and manner of life and all those things. And it matters so much in our life what those things are, what our devotions are to and what we love. In the second study, we studied about growing up into Him and letting the Lord place us in a place of responsibility and taking upon us the weight of an adult and allowing ourselves to start wherever we are at and to grow up into Christ until we can bear weight and until it becomes something that's just a part of our life. We bear weight. Adults bear weight. Adults take responsibilities. And they don't mind doing without so that others can do with. That's the way an adult does in a home. The third study was about purging ourselves from these. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. And we was thinking there and studying about keeping a good name, the honor and respect of the people, where we can be effectual working with them, where we can be a vessel unto honor. The Lord doesn't want any vessels to dishonor. He doesn't want any vessels that are unclean and unusable. But He wants vessels to honor. And so He wants to make that into us. And the fourth study we talked about, the scripture says, so built we the wall. And Nehemiah had a vision of something that needed to happen, and he saw it, and he saw that vision, and you know what? The Lord gave him the way to be able to build that wall. And so it says that for the people had a mind to work, and they were ridiculed and laughed at for a while, but they knew what they were doing, and in a little bit, we see all of a sudden, a month or a month and a half? The walls were built. And when you read about how much work went into these walls, somebody was really putting it into it and on purpose. And so this morning I want to just go on with that little study about the different aspects of the work of the Lord. I'm thinking about this morning about another aspect, and it may not seem so spiritual, but I believe it. We'll look at a number of scriptures this morning and see what the Bible has to say about it. You know, our fellowship, and we know this, in 1 John 1:7, we'll just start there. We know that our fellowship is in the Lord. It says, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, We have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. You know, our first thing, our basis for any fellowship is that we're truly saved. And the Lord has given us a new birth in him and delivered us from sin. That's the first starting place. And so our fellowship is when we continue to walk in that light. And there's a spiritual fellowship that without that, all else is worth nothing. So what I want to say this morning that I feel like the Lord has given us a little bit here is to complement that, to make that more effective with each other and with ourselves and with people. And so I'm thinking this morning about a human element of this, and that is friendship. You know, this morning, without the Lord's friendship, it would be hard to accept taking upon you sometimes a yoke that we sometimes have to bear. Persecution, troubles that are brought on simply by being a Christian sometimes. Those things happen, don't they? And sometimes people will speak of us evil, of our name, bring it up evil falsely for Christ's sake. You know, it's nice to know that the Lord has our good in mind. And it's nice to know that he's our friend. Because when those hard things come, affliction, troubles, when those hard things come, there's something more than just those hard things. We know that there is one that we can go to, and he cares deeply about what we are in. Doesn't that make a huge difference in our mind and life? Doesn't it make a difference to you to say, I'll suffer anything for him? He suffered for me. He cares for me. I'll suffer. I'll die. I'll give. Paul, he was ready. He told him, don't weep and break my heart. I'm ready to go up to Jerusalem and die for him. And so that was in his heart because his relationship was far deeper than a set of rules. His relationship was far deeper than the fact that he had separated himself from Judaism and began to take up a whole new thing and was persecuted heavily for it. And he said, I'm willing not only, what did he say, to bonds or whatever, but I'm willing to die if must be. Do you know this morning, I believe that there is something such blessing, so beneficial to our friendships with one another that really comes into play when it comes into living for the Lord and making our run successful. I know the Lord will give us grace if we have to live it alone. I believe that. No doubt about it, the Lord will take us through. But you know what? The Lord really has given us a lot to go with that this morning. And so I want to look at some of those things. First, I want to look at a few scriptures speaking of David. 1 Samuel 18 and 1. And I find David as one that knew what friendship was. David knew what it was for his heart to be knit with another. Not everybody knows that, I find. Not everybody knows that. And many people in the world feel all alone. And you know, this morning, I believe the Lord wants us to open our hearts and our minds a little bit this morning that he may have some beams of sunshine to fall upon our life that we didn't realize. So in 18 and 1, we find here, and it came to pass when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. You know, this relationship that Jonathan and David had protected David. You know, when David got in trouble with Saul, and Saul was bent on killing David, you know what Jonathan did? He went out and he let David know, you need to run for your life. You need to go. You know the protection that was to have that kind of a friend. This morning, there are so many benefits, and I want to talk about a number of them this morning, that the Lord wants to give us, and He wants to teach us how to have this human element that will complement. And like we said before, folks, I know I'm not talking about altogether a spiritual unity completely this morning, because that has to exist first. But this also is something that the Lord wants to give us and make it a great blessing to us. You know, David said, he said, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." I think that David had a good taste of what it meant. David was a man that had some very deep relationships. And he was a man that knew what it meant to have that kind of thing. And he said, "Oh, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." Now, I know that's a spiritual thing, largely. But I want to look at a number of things that enter into it. You know, David, in 2 Samuel 23 and 14, we find another little incident here. 2 Samuel 23 and 14 to 16. "And David was then in an hold." David was holed up. He was in a some kind of a stronghold or something here. "And the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. And David longed and said, 'Oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate.'" You know, I can only think David never dreamed of really getting a drink from the well of Bethlehem right then. He just was like, "Oh, I wish that would be so nice." Here we are. "And the three mighty men break through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof, but poured it out unto the Lord." Do you know this morning, I believe that this had to touch David in a very deep way, for these men to do this. Do you know what kind of possibilities there is when there's that kind of love and loyalty? I wonder what David felt. I wonder if he just teared up or if he, I don't know. I know David was a man of war and he was in tight places right then, but I can only imagine what it was like when these three men risked their lives so David could have a drink from the well of Bethlehem. That had to be something. That had to be very touching. And I wonder what was in David's mind when he wrote, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." You know, these men had to fight battles together. You know, they had to go out, and they were fighting for their lives. The Philistines were at Bethlehem. That's what it says. Here they were. They were there. And so they were fighting for their place. They were fighting for their property. They were fighting for their wives, for their children, for whatever the Philistines might come further and do. They had all this at stake. But do you know when there's that kind of something, I have to think they felt pretty good together. they fought pretty good together. And so this morning, I just want us to think about that and begin to look at some possibilities. Folks, I've been thinking about this for a long time, and I pray God to open our minds and our vision and our heart that we too, as a congregation, can build and feel this kind of something between us that's hardly, you can't always see it, but it's there. But you know when you have a friend, and you know when you have someone that's going to back you up. They're not always going to take your side. Real friends don't do that. Real friends don't always say, "Well, I know they're right just because they're my friend." No, they might smite you on the cheek. And one writer said, "It'll be a kindness to me when it's from my friend." You know, this morning, We are in a battle for our families too. Folks, we are in a battle for our lives, spiritual lives. We're in a battle for our sons and daughters. We're in a battle for our wives and our family. We're in a battle for our congregation. Now, I'm not talking about a special battle that we're all facing right now, because I don't think we're facing that right now. But I will tell you, we always face the devil. We're in a battle that those that are hanging on at the edges and trying to hang on, trying to hang in there, need to be able to get a grip. You know what will help make that possible? When they know how much we care about them. When they know by experience, I'll break through the enemy's host for you. I care about you enough, and I've got enough love and respect for you that I'm going to put my life on the line for you. You know, this morning there's something really special about that. And so this morning I want to encourage us to ask the Lord, Lord, I feel wholly inadequate this morning to say what I want to say. But I want to ask all of us to ask the Lord, Lord, enlarge my vision this morning. Lord, you speak to me this morning. You enlarge my place. You teach me how to be like this. You know, I know there's a fellowship of the Spirit. But there's also a love that the Lord wants to not only be in here, but He wants it to come out and be through these things too. These two hands we've got, the feet we have, the words we speak from our mouth this morning. 1 Peter 1 and 22 has some really good admonition for us. And like I say, yes, I feel wholly inadequate, but I know the Lord can minister to our hearts. Seeing that ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Do you know this morning, it's one thing to care about each other, and it's another thing to care about each other fervently and to love one another fervently. And I want to encourage us this morning to ask the Lord to give us a fervent love for one another. To give us the kind of love that inspires and motivates us to move out of the place that we're in and be able to cross areas that maybe we feel held back by. We want the Lord to enlarge our vision that we might desire more. I think the possibilities exist countlessly of what can be done. We talked about David and what kind of possibilities that makes for when those three mighty men were on that kind of one page together. Do you know that opened the door to possibilities? That opened the door to David feeling really confident. His three right there beside him, he knew where they were and he knew where their hearts were and he knew they were willing to risk their life for him. You know what kind of confidence that gives going into a battle? This morning, I believe that God wants to give us a little stronger, more fervent love for one another. I know we love each other. I've lived here. I love this congregation and I appreciate this congregation, but I want to challenge us a little bit that we allow this to accent what we have. I think about a home. You know that a home has great possibilities. When two get married, they are beginning a journey that has great possibilities. It has great possibilities for advancing and for love and for happiness. And it has great possibilities for injury and hurt and hatred and all of those. It has those possibilities. But I want to look at the positive things this morning that we can look at in a home. I determined when I first got married, I just made a decision in my mind. I will never allow many wars, many talking about these M-I-N-I little wars in our home. I don't want that. You know, that's been tested. That's been pushed on. And we've had to fight for the good things that we've had. But I will tell you what possibility exists in a home. And I thank God for this. The possibility exists for it to be the happiest place on earth for us. The possibility exists that we would rather be in no other place than there. The possibility exists for our children to love to be there. Those possibilities are there. Do you know this morning it takes work for that to happen? Because there isn't anywhere where you rub shoulders closer than there. There isn't anywhere that the possibility exists more for there to be friction than right there where you're so close. That's the possibilities. But do you know that the Lord has made it possible and made it available to you and me if we all work together in our home? You know, the Lord has made it available for us to have the happiest place on earth right there. He has. And it's a beautiful thing to be able to just love to go home, to be able to love to be there. Folks, that is precious, and that is valuable. And it is the same in the church today. Now, we could say, we're married now. I told you when I married you, I loved you. I have heard of this being done in actuality. I told you 30 years ago I loved you, and I still, you know, why are you asking me today? Folks, if that's the case, that is a disgrace and a shame to marriage, because the Lord has something so much better, to where that love just flows out every day. Now, is that easy all the time? No, it's not. It takes a lot of work. It takes a dying to ourself, because we're in close quarters, folks. And do you know this morning, it's what we do with all of those things that makes us to mature, to grow, to become able to share with one another in those kind of on those kind of levels this morning. So is this spiritual? I believe it is, because God made it so this morning. And so I want to encourage us to be friendly and to look at the atmosphere that we have and be challenged that it can be all that it should be. You know what? This morning, you know what I see and long for and hope? I long for our young people. And I want the Lord to help me. I've been seeking the Lord, folks. Lord, help me to know how to make this kind of atmosphere available. I want them to love to be here. I want them to love the things that we love. I want them to want to come up here and sing specials. I want them to love to be a part of the work here. Now, you know what, folks? That's going to take an effort on every one of our part for that to happen. And that's going to take an effort on the young people's part, that they themselves get a little vision. You know what? When we have a vision of something, when Nehemiah went over there to build the wall, he had a vision of what he wanted. He wanted there to be a wall all the way around Jerusalem again. And he wanted it to be thick and high. And he wanted it to protect them against the enemies around them. And so the people had a mind to work, and they put themselves to it. And there began to be good things happen. Do you know this morning, we have a real challenge too, because we are very close here in a close setting. And while I appreciate what we have, folks, I envision it being better yet. I envision it being more drawing yet to people. Do we have to compromise the truth for that? I don't believe that is where the Lord's going to bless. But you know what? We can speak the truth in love. we can have a relationship of friendship like the Lord has with us, where that we know you know what, if they're speaking to me, it's in love. And you know what, sometimes that gets mangled. It gets crossed. The wires get crossed. And we have to really work to uncross those wires. And folks, I have been examining myself. Lord, I want to make sure. I want to be at the front of this. I mean the first. I want to be willing to pay that price. So you all pray for us, okay? You know, when we show ourselves friendly, we're not just talking about being cordial, but everybody here, pretty much, probably everybody, they will say, how's the weather? Oh, it's cold outside right now, and talk about those surface things. But folks, it takes a little more to cross barriers and go a little deeper. But the value of it, if we can ever see the wall that needs built, and I'm using that, wall may not be the best term for that, but if we can ever see the work that needs to be done and the value of it, I will tell you, it'll put you to work. Sometimes it's just easier to be alone. I'm going to just talk about some practical things. We're independent people. I think it's probably always been that way here. We're very independent people. And you know what? There's a certain value to independence. But you know what? There's a great value also in being knit together and being interdependent. And we've talked about this a little bit from time to time. Sometimes it's easier to just be alone. Sometimes it's easier to just say, well, my comfort level is that, you know, I'm just going to go home. I'm not going to mix. Folks, I want to challenge us to look and see the vision of what we can have and cross those barriers. I'm not going to allow that. I'm not going to allow myself to say, no, I'm not in the center of things, and I don't. That's what we feel sometimes. If we feel like, well, everybody else knows everything, they all hear everything, they all are together, but I'm going to take my bag and go home. You know, that's the first thing that comes to our mind, isn't it? When we feel like, well, maybe I have a little rejection. I want to encourage us to cross that barrier. It is worth the journey because what we receive is tremendous. I remember my dear brother, Bob Salee, and I remember a time when I felt like, and wrongly so, too, I found out, I felt his disapproval about some things. And so it tempted me to just withdraw. But I decided I wasn't going to do that. I was going to cross that barrier, and I was going to be friends with him. Real friends. And you know, when he died, I didn't even realize the depth. But Sister Irma told me what our friendship meant. And I wished I would have realized more than I did at the time. I knew we were friends. But you know, the Lord wants us to be willing. The joy that we get when we do cross those areas, maybe we feel rejected. There's a lot of reasons that we don't cross this divide to really truly be friends. One of them is our own personality. I just want to withdraw. I remember a time when I could have done that. I used to dream about maybe becoming somebody that worked out in the woods or something, some kind of an officer that never had to see people. Well, you know what? That hadn't happened, and I'm really glad it didn't happen that way. We have to cross ourselves, and so I've had an uphill battle to cross that. But you know what I found now? I love to be with people now. It's all changed. You know, the Lord can change even those of us that would like to be reclusive. It's worth the journey. I know we may never be like someone else. We're not trying to be. But you know what? We can have little feelings and hurts too. Well, you know, they said such and such. They turned around. They shook everybody's hand but mine. Do you know this morning that we have to climb over those things, don't we? That's called maturity. It's called, well, maybe we need to go shake their hand. let's cross that divide this morning. Folks, I believe that things can be closer, happier, more enjoyable than it is. And I know we love to be together. We come here on Wednesday nights, and I will tell you, I sat there in a dreamland just listening to all the testimonies. I love Wednesday night services. I love to hear you testify. Do you know this morning, I believe the Lord wants us to love to be together, and not just at church. I was mentioning this to a brother this week, and he said, I told my wife about it, and she called me back, and she had a suggestion that we have someone different over once a month. All of our families. Just have someone completely different. Not our best friend. Just, you know what? I like that idea. You know what else? I've heard that put forth right here in this congregation before. A brother right back here made put that out for us, what, a year ago or so? You know, I'm not going to try to get real deep into all of those kind of details right now, because I would like at some point on maybe a Sunday night or sometime, I would like for us to really discuss these things and hear back from you. What can we do? Because when you put that out to other people, you find out, as I did at dinner at lunch this week, well, let's start getting to know one another a little bit. Is that strictly unspiritual? Is that something that is outside our realm? Well, we're trying to build something up that's not. No, folks, I want to tell you something. David fought by those men, and it was greatly enhanced, I can tell you, and much more enjoyable knowing that these are my friends. Folks, I have many friends here. I'm not saying this because I don't feel it, because I feel friends all over this chapel. But you know what? The Lord help us to have deeper ties, stronger ties, stronger lines of communication between us. We've got to sometimes push beyond the barriers and make it happen. I know there might be cultural divides. There may be people in different social circles. Maybe some make a lot and maybe some make a little. Do you know what? The Bible tells us something about the high places coming down and the low places coming up. It doesn't just say for the high places to come down. It says for the low places are going to come up. Now, I know that's spiritual terminology largely, but you know what else? Folks, I'm just talking on a congregation level here this morning. There's a place here for all of this where we need to cross those places. I believe it will provide a road. I believe it will provide a highway of holiness for others to walk on as well. Yes. Iron sharpeneth iron, folks. Brothers, sisters, sharpen each other this morning. Maybe a little unforgiveness. Folks, I'm telling you, that's a big one, and it can come up so easily. It can just come up so easily. You know how I know? Because I live in a home where things really are close all the time. Do you know what the value of really just forgiving? I'm just going to put it in the past. Is so great. It opens possibilities that can't be had any other way. And this is a funny little thing, but you remember the little turtle? He just ducks himself into his shell. That's his response to any kind of danger. Folks, we can duck into our shell and we can kind of stay there just to protect ourselves. It's a mistake among us. And I want to encourage us to cross that. I want to encourage us that at the end of services, to get to know each other better, not just our best friends. But go speak to the one that hasn't been here for a while. Go speak to the one. Remember, folks, you know what happens when people feel like they're wanted? Have you ever watched it happen? Somebody starts feeling loved and they open their heart to the Lord. It happens. It happens pretty regular. You show interest in somebody. You begin to pray with them. You begin to care. You know what? The first time you don't walk up and say all those things necessarily. But after a friendship develops and somebody says, hey, pray for me. I'm in a battle. Because, see, I know you're my friend and I know you're going to pray for me. You know what that does? That begins to connect. And it begins to mean, I like to see that person. And there's something that pleasant that begins to happen. Folks, this is the way homes, this is the way congregations happen. You know, and I believe that the Lord wants to enlarge our vision and cause us to cross over barriers that we have ourselves, maybe imposed. Who said, am I my brother's keeper? Anybody know, children? You know who said that? Am I my brother's keeper? That wicked man Cain said that. That's who said it. Am I my brother's keeper? I'm not worried about him. Folks, we are our brother's keeper. And when we see our brother starting to err a little bit, I want to tell you the best thing we can do for him, and that's get close to him. That's the best thing we can do. Start trying to build a relationship and let the Lord begin to minister. Folks, there's something wonderful about the ways of the Lord. We come from diverse backgrounds. We come from different countries. We come from all kinds. Do you know that we have a lot of differences of opinion about things? And I know there's things that we have to agree on spiritually. But I will tell you, we're very different. But there's a joy and a blessing in coming together. I want to read a few more scriptures here. In Philemon 1 and 1 to 5, we find Paul here. It says, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, and to our beloved Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers. Have you ever had somebody say that to you? I pray for you real often. I have. And I want to tell you something. There's something bonding about that. There's something. You mean you really care about me that much? You really see? Thank you. And there's a little bond begins to happen when somebody knows. You know what? Somebody's carrying a load and they put in a little request, a special unspoken request. It's real nice for somebody to come up and say, hey, I've been praying for you. I hope that request is working out for you. Now, is this spiritual? It is spiritual. When Paul wrote to Philemon here, he said, I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints. Do you know sometimes maybe we're a little afraid to give a compliment? Well, folks, we don't want to lift each other up. But we want to be wise. The scriptures tell us to walk in wisdom toward those that are without. Should we not walk in wisdom toward those that are within? I believe we should this morning. Should we not consider the things that we say and weigh them and actually say some of them on purpose? Now, we're not talking about trying to pump somebody up. Folks, we need one another's love, friendship, words, time. Time means a lot, doesn't it? That's the way you spell love to a lot of people. It's T-I-M-E. I've had to find out some of those things the hard way, but it's true. You know, when he wrote to Timothy, Paul said to Timothy, My dearly beloved son, wow, you know what that kind of conveying of your inner thoughts means to somebody? Timothy, my dearly beloved son. There was something there connecting. Something there that allowed Paul to say things to Timothy that maybe he wouldn't have been able to say any other way. There's things that sometimes we need to say to one another. Sometimes we need that one that smites us in kindness. But folks, it don't happen by coming up and just telling all the truth to somebody. They needed to hear that. I needed to unload on. No, we don't need to unload on people like that. We need to love them. And we need to, in love, tell them the truth and be with one another. The Lord loves that. And folks, there's a special heavenly blessing that comes upon us as we do that. We find that in a home. We'll find that in any group of people. David found that in his little group there. His mighty men that fought right beside him. His people. You know what, Solomon, in the days that he walked in wisdom, you know what? The queen came up and her breath just left her. The half of what I was told. It wasn't the half. What I was told wasn't the half of what is here. Your servants are happy. You know, there was something, there was a wisdom and a love and a joy there in that place that, folks, it happens because people pay the price for that. Because we humble ourselves, we give up our little hurt, our unforgiveness, or our independence. Should we give up our independence? To some degree, yes. I believe we should see this and recognize, you know what? I do need to not just be myself. I need to do more than just show up once in a while. I need people to know that I'm with them. I need people to know that I love them. I want to be a part. I'm going to help carry the load. Folks, I love this kind of thing because I've experienced the joy that comes from the Lord working His ways in our hearts this morning. Beloved, let us love one another, John says. For love is of God. You know, if we will allow it, if we will allow that kind of love to work in our hearts, where that I would, they can count on me for this. I mean, I'm just saying, us as a whoever we are, they can count on me that I'm going to love them. They can count on me that I'm going to stand beside them. They can count on me that I'm not going to be back of them doing whatever. You know, beloved, let us love one another. We have to allow that. Sometimes that comes at a great cost for us to love one another. Sometimes it's a great cost for us to take a half a day or 2 hours or even to cross the chapel. It's a great cost to us, whatever it is, our own pride or whatever. It comes at a great cost, or our 4 hours or our whole Saturday or whatever. Sometimes, you know what that speaks? It speaks volumes to people. Sometimes we have to learn. And I'm going to say this, okay? You just forgive me, please. Sometimes we have to learn to work on ourselves, because I've found that I can be offensive at times. And I had to realize that. You know what? You got to work on that, Philip. You know what? We have to look at ourselves and say, I need to work on myself here. I need to work on myself, because that's offensive to people. That's boisterous. That's in your face. That's overwhelming. And people don't like that. Well, that's not called just trying to butter up to everybody. Folks, it's called wisdom. It's called putting aside my own personal opinions or my own personal personality and condescending to be a servant of the Lord to all, to loving all. I know we're about out of time. I'll read a few more here. Hebrews 3 and 12. It says, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Now, you know what it says there? Did we hear it? Exhort one another daily. Do you know that the Lord is depending on you and me being a part of this spiritual process? And he says, I want you to exhort each other daily. I want you to challenge one another in the Lord. Don't just depend on God to do it all. The Lord chose to work through you and me as well. He wants our love to be felt by others. And he wants our words to be challenging to other people. And so he says, exhort one another daily. While it is called today, what's the scripture say about so much the more? As you see the day approaching. And so this morning, the Lord help us today. Paul said in Acts 20, he said, I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone, night and day, with tears. Do you know this morning, not everyone in the world has our good at heart, folks. But you know what? When we are stronger together. The Bible knows what it's saying when it says to be knit together in love. You know what knitting is? That's we woven together in love. And I want to tell you what a protection that will be, what a strength that will be to one another when one gets a heavy load and all the others are helping to bear it. Folks, right back here in this corner on Wednesday noons, there is a little group that meets every Wednesday about 12 o'clock and begins to pray for the needs of this congregation and of every one of us here. Do you know that there is a little group that meets and pray? And I want to invite you to come. Do you know that has woven us together to be there together? We have seen the Lord work miracles a number of times. And I believe a lot of it was a direct result of that little woven, knitted together prayer bunch that's calling upon God for special mercy and help. I believe this morning, folks, there's going to be those that don't have our good at heart in this world. We are stronger together. We'll be safer together. We'll bear it easier together. And it'll be a lot more enjoyable this morning. I just want to challenge us today, folks. I long to have more joy among us. And I know we have a bunch, and I... believe me, nobody enjoys it, I don't think, much more than I do. But the Lord wants to increase that. Young folks, I have a little vision in my mind and heart of you, each one, loving this thing. Loving the Lord's way. Loving to serve the Lord. Loving to sing specials. Maybe loving to come up and sit up close. And I love that. There are times and places that happens. Folks, if it can happen in times and places, it can happen here, can't it? But we're all going to have to work at it. We're going to have to start searching, Lord, what is my part in this? And pulling together. We're stronger together. We have better ideas together. The Lord can reveal more together, can't He? So you pray for me. I want to do it God's way.